Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I went into my little room where I pray and what have you, and said, Holy Ghost, what the heck am I going to do? And immediately the Lord spoke to me. He spoke to me about prayer, the power of prayer. How many know one of our values is prayer fuels power? And prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. And so often, even for Christians, it's our last resort. We go to this, we do that, we try and get some help here and help there, and then when that doesn't work, we decide we better pray. Actually, it should be our first response. Because prayer itself is powerful, and it releases power. And Jesus said, or God said originally, the Father said, my house will be a house of prayer. And Jesus, how many remember that he turfed everybody out of the temple and said, hey, you made it a business, and it's meant to be a house of prayer, and so on. And so this morning I want to speak to you about breakthrough now, because the passage of Scripture that the Lord took me to, and I said to Holy Spirit, what the heck do I preach on? And he took me immediately to 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 17. Now it reads this. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. So the Philistines came against him to kill him because of his appointment. And then if we were to take time and read on down to verse 20, David went to Baal-perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breakthrough of the water. And he called the place Baal-perazim, which means the God of breakthrough. Now, what I want you to understand is that, I get this message from Pastor Glenn, who's just been appointed as the leader of the church here, the senior leader, and I get this message saying he's ill, he can't come today, and Lynn can't come because she can't leave him on his own, and maybe he's going to go to hospital, and what do I preach? And I say, Holy Spirit, what the heck do I do? and he takes me straight to that verse. David's just been appointed. The enemy comes in. And then, as he begins to seek God, he discovers as a new revelation of God. God is the God of breakthrough. Yeah. He's the God of breakthrough. But sometimes you never discover that until you're in a desperate situation. Yeah. They're trying to kill him. He's just been appointed. And I just felt like the Lord was saying, this is just an attack of the enemy, but I'm the God of breakthrough. I'm the God of breakthrough. And in the midst of opposition, he gets this new revelation and has an encounter with God. It's a fresh revelation for him. And, you know, we've talked about it before in Matthew 11:12, where Jesus said, you know, the kingdom advances forcefully and people take it by force and so on. And the Amplified puts it, the kingdom of heaven violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. So that's what it was like. And we talked about it the other day, that Jesus said, up until this time, because we know that after the cross and the outpouring of the Spirit of God, some of that changed, but it still takes a positive perspective and a determination to lay hold of God in the midst of everything that goes on, to believe him, to stand on it, and fight for the kingdom, fight for faith. It's actually not a fight in the sense we often think of the word fight. The only fight we're called to is a fight of faith. Fight the good fight, the fight of faith. That means believe God, trust God, expect God. It's all of that. Don't be overwhelmed by circumstances and react to those. No, respond to God. And we do live and minister and build the kingdom, see the kingdom extend in a war zone. There's an enemy, and the battle is going on for the future of the church. And I do feel that the Lord was just saying to me, this is an attack. Pastor Glenn will be okay. It's okay, but it's an attack. And sometimes the enemy gets in and all of that. And the reality is, It's time to pray. And good intentions about prayer are not enough. Too many people have good intentions about it, but they don't actually get to focus strategic prayer, pushing through, putting everything else aside, grabbing hold of God and not letting go. And we have to learn to pray and not just spontaneously pray what was impressed on our heart, but to learn to pray, engaging our mind in strategic, focused prayer until we get the breakthrough. That's why Paul says, I pray with in the spirit and I pray with my understanding. I'll sing in the spirit, I'll sing in my understanding. How many know if you're just praying in the spirit and singing in the spirit, it's actually hard to really engage your faith in some respects. But if you're thinking about something and you're being strategic and you're processing it, there's an expression of faith and sacrifice or whatever else may be needed that's a bit beyond just flowing in the spirit, because flowing in the spirit bypasses your mind. Now, I'm not saying you can't have faith to pray in the spirit. Of course you can. And we should. And we need to engage with that. But at the same time, don't just do that, because I've found so often for Pentecostal people, praying in the spirit can be just become a mechanical habit. There's no real engagement. It's just like when talking in the spirit, you know. No, no. And if you don't know how to break through in prayer, we'll never see our dreams fulfilled. Because faith wants to encounter us. You know, Father wants to encounter us in the midst of those difficult times, in the midst of those challenging times. Like Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. Amen. Call to him. Yeah. He'll show you things. And you know, so often I think we can be affected by what we see as unanswered prayer. How many of you prayed for things that didn't work out? All of us have. But the problem is, it's not necessarily that God isn't answering or it's not going to be fulfilled. It can be a matter of timing. It can be a matter of our own understanding and all of those kind of things. But actually, prayer is sowing seeds for miracles. That's what it's about. And that's what he says. No, call to me. Lean into me. Focus on me. And I'll show you things that you've never experienced before. You've never seen before. And God asks us to ask him. When you think about it, what's he doing? He's setting up an opportunity for you and I to encounter the God of breakthrough. He's saying, don't just deal with it yourself. Don't just leave it up to me. No, you come to me and ask me. You come and express your faith. You come into alignment with me. You come into my presence and set us up. I believe, and some of you heard me say this before, I believe Jeremiah 33:3 is actually a real word for today, for this season we're in. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. I believe that's something very relevant for our season. How many know the world's gone mad? Darkness is increasing. You look at what's going on. How many of you are upset with what our international parliamentarian said with the United Nations in relation to Palestine and Israel? Can't believe that at a government level we've walked away from Israel after all of these years of being aligned with them and all of that stuff that's going on around the world. And when you look at it, the Western world in particular has become increasingly anti-Christian and anti-Semitic, which is part of being anti-Christian and all of that kind of thing. And there is an agenda to destroy society, particularly in the Western world, because the Western world was founded on Christian values and mindsets and perspectives. That's why we've lived in peace. That's why we've lived in prosperity. That's all of that. But as we walked away from God at the end of the 1800s, there was an announcement made from scientists to say there's no such thing as God. And from that time on, it's been a focus on what we can think, what we understand, what we know through whatever they call research and whatever, and how we know a lot of the stuff they're calling about science with, you know, is just rubbish anyway. It's not science at all, that you can, you know, change your gender without anything, you know. And they're saying that your genitals don't define your sex. Your genitals don't, but they can remove your genitals and change them, and that defines your sex. But they start off saying, no, it doesn't define your sex. The world's gone mad. That's why we need to put that aside and call unto him. There's so much rubbish that comes through the media and social media. I'm looking at my Facebook page. I've got about 4,500 on it or something, and I connect with a lot of pastors and people and stuff all over the place, but I'm getting sick of it. How many of you are sick of all the social media stuff? So much rubbish on it. You kind of go, oh my gosh, do I actually want to put up with that? And he wants to lift our level of impact by invading our lives and our circumstances. And I believe it's a time for that. The effective fervent prayer, it says in James 5, 16 through 18, of a righteous person avails much. Here's this incredible thing. I don't know how often you've thought about this. It says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He's just a normal human being, putting up with all the stuff that you and I put up with, but he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. I mean, that's pretty incredible. And the Amplified says this, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. If we really believe that, I reckon we'd pray a bit more. I think we'd pray a bit more intensely. I think when we understand that, you know, when we come together in agreement for prayer, it lifts the whole level of authority, anointing, and breakthrough power. I reckon we'd pray a heck of a lot more together and really stand on that, because it's true that its power is released through prayer. And it says in 1 John 5:14 through 15, this is the confidence we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests we ask of him. So if we are praying according to the word of God and according to the will of God, he hears us and he will answer us. It may not happen the way we want, it may not happen in the time frame we prefer, but he's already heard it, because it's his word. Praying his word back to him is very powerful, standing on his word. That's why we can always stand on the promises of God, that by his stripes we were healed. Now, I don't understand how that outworks. I've seen people have incredible miracles in a moment of time. Just a bang, just happened. And I've seen others struggle to get their breakthrough in prayer, as we have, as some of you have, and all of that kind of stuff. I don't know that, but I know God's on the throne. And here's the thing. People say God's in control. I want to say to you, God is not in control. He's in charge. Because you and I are in control of our lives by the decisions we make. Churches, organizations are in control of their future by the decisions they make at leadership level. And it may not be according to the will of God. We have to listen to Holy Spirit and do what he says. Not go from natural thinking and, you know, my perspective, my preference, what the world does, you know, secular thinking and corporate structure and all those kind of things. No, get rid of that and get hold of what Holy Ghost is saying. Because that's what will be unfolding in our lives. And, you know, I might have shared this testimony of Yongi Cho before, the pastor of the big church in Korea. And he talks about, well, actually, if you know anything of his story, when he got saved, he had terminal TB. He was incredibly ill and without any hope. And the Lord totally healed him. But for 25 years, he struggled with a problem with his bladder. God healed the rest of his body, didn't heal his bladder. So he had to run to the toilet all the time, and he was traveling internationally. And the first thing the guys that were traveling with him would do when they get to an airport or they go wherever is find a toilet for him, because he'd have to run to the toilet. And he put up with it for 25 years. And he tells a story that one day he was in his office and he says to the Lord, God, why didn't you heal my bladder? And the Lord said to me, you never asked me. He said, you never asked me. So he talks about the fact that for 2 hours, he walked up and down in his office going, bladder be healed in Jesus' name, bladder be healed in Jesus' name, bladder be healed. And he was healed, instantly healed. After 2 hours, the power of God hit him and he was healed. But sometimes that's the journey, isn't it? It's desperation that leads to concentration and determination. I mean, how determined are we to push through in the things of God? How distracted are we by other things or the things that happen to us, the circumstances, what other people say, what's going on in the world? How distracted are we rather than getting our focus and our intention and being concentrated and determined about it? Here's something to think about. And the story of Yong Yi Cho brings that about, confirms this. You don't get what you believe for. You get what you settle for. You don't get what you believe for, you get what you settle for. We can have all sorts of beliefs in a general sense, but if we are prepared to put up with a contrary thing, that's what we're going to live with. That's what we're going to live with. And so our faith is to bring us to God and express the things that He's put in our hearts. And so there's three things I want to wind up with. You getting something out of this morning? I just thought it's crazy. To be honest with you, I've been relaxed the last couple of weeks thinking I don't have to think about what I'm preaching or whatever. I can just chill out and pull back and start to think about what we're going to do in the season ahead. We haven't really started to think about that because I've discovered in transition you're better to get out of one season, get it out of your system, take a break, and then focus on the next season when you're not still thinking about stuff. So we haven't really been thinking about it too much. And then I get this call this morning saying you're preaching in a couple of hours or whatever, and I'm going, oh, what the heck? Come on, Holy Ghost. And He takes me there. And suddenly I've got this thing in my spirit stirring up. And I know this. But here's three things. Number one, you need to pray with confidence. Because you are His child. You have a promise. You're deeply loved, incredibly blessed, and highly favored. How many of you know that? You're deeply loved, you are blessed, and you are favored. So we can pray with confidence. One of my favorite prayers when I get up in the morning is to say, God, You are my Father. I am Your son. I've been born again. I'm in the family of God. All the things to do with my natural family are gone. They're finished. They're somewhere else. I'm not inheriting the rubbish that could come down. No, no, I'm part of a different family. How many know that's true? So many Christian people are still talking about all the diseases that their previous generations had or this, that, and the other. You get what you say. You get what you confess. I refuse to go there. My dad died of bowel cancer when I was 4 years old. My mother died of bowel cancer when she was 81, I think, or something like that. And I refused to think about that until I came back from Asia. We're up there, and I came back with typhoid, and I was bleeding from my bowel pretty seriously, so I had to go to the doctor. And I went to the doctor, and they were asking me about cancer in my family. And I was, what age was I then, 50 or something? And I'm thinking, I've never talked to anybody about this, never admitted it, but I'll tell you. And so he's saying, oh, when did you last get checked? Leave me alone. I don't need to be checked. I'm fine. Thank you very much. But anyway, come on. Come on. No, we're part of the family of God. And I did get checked, by the way. I had to. But pray with confidence. You're a child of God. He loves you. He knows every detail of your life, your thinking, your health, everything about your life. He knows it better than you know it yourself. He knows it. Number two, pray with conviction. Our thinking, our speaking and behavior must come from Bible-based convictions. And if we live by those convictions and not our preferences and all of that sort of thing, not other people's opinions, not past experiences, God hears and answers prayer that come from His Word. And so we can pray with confidence and we can pray with a conviction. And that's why in certain areas, even though you don't see the results, you need to stand on the conviction. If it's in the Word, in the context of the Word, by the way, not taking a scripture out of context, not talking about that. How many know you can make the Bible say whatever you want if you take it out of context? But we're talking about what the Word of God is actually saying, what Holy Spirit is quickening to you at a point in time. No, stand on that. With conviction, with confidence, with conviction. And number three, pray with expectation. God is not a man that he'd lie, neither is the Son of Man that he would change his mind. God's not like a man that might lie or change his mind. If God said, he will do it. It's in the word, that's the word of God. It changes not. How many know Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? That's what the scripture says. So that means what he was doing while he was on the earth, he's still doing today. Oh, we may not see it the way we want, but how many know faith is not about natural thinking. It's not about our understanding. It's about having a concept of the incredible total authority, power, and preeminence of God, and trusting him, trusting his word, trusting the moving of the Spirit of God, aligning with that and refusing to be separated from it. Anyway, when you pray, believe that you'll receive it and it will be yours. Do you know how many times Jesus said that? That he told us, whatever you pray for in my name, I'll do it. If you walk with me, if you're obedient to me, John 15, you know, whatever you pray, I will do it. Whatever you pray in my name that the Father might be glorified, I will do it.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.